We in the building.
Man, man.
Season finale. We got bottles. It might go anyway. Who knows how it's gonna go? I got my brother, man. You know what I'm saying? He came through. Christian KP Pope.
What up, what up, what
AKA
up?
AKA John Black.
Mr. Black, you know. Honored to be here. I get to have the task of telling y'all, well, helping explain, you know, the madness that is the science that is Mr. Gaines over here.
Mm. Well, you know, it is what it is. I'm a humble dude, but like I was saying earlier, man, this deeply rooted thing is kind of taking a life of its own. You move the camera, bro. Just bring it up. That's all you got to do, the volume.
Brought to you by...
Wait. Yeah, you good. Sorry, y'all, you know what it is, man. We're getting it together. So, essentially, 16 episodes. This is our 16th episode. We've had some really ill conversations, man. We, you know, I have plans to take this thing to another level. But, you know, without further ado, man, let's take a shot, bro. Deeply rooted to the community. I love y'all, man. It's only up for here. Grandma, if you're watching, I'm sorry for drinking. We celebrate. So yeah, man, we're gonna get into it. I know I kept y'all waiting. I know we're a little bit behind, but we in here, you know.
Right.
So,
well, if y'all don't know me, I've been I call this man my mentor. He took me in about 19 years old. I started wanting to do music, and since I was a kid, he was the only person I knew around here that did anything that was close to what I was trying to do. He took me in, he taught me everything I know. So for me to do this is like a huge honor. So I appreciate it.
No doubt.
So we're gonna start like this. First question we're gonna go is, who is Tony Gaines? I'm gonna do two parts. And who is Tony Wisdom?
All right. So Tony Gaines, you know, that's something I probably never explained publicly, bro. So I probably will explain it. You know, everybody is confused by that, because there's some people that know me as Tony Wisdom. There's some people that know me as Tony Gaines. If it's on Facebook, it's Tony Wisdom Gaines, you know. And the wisdom almost sounds made up, but Anthony Wisdom, that's my government name. When I was young, if you knew me when, you know, I was in elementary school, I went by Tony Gaines my entire life. I never knew Tony Wisdom until I moved, and they started making me go by that shit, right? And I remember telling that principal, like, look, you can call me that, but I will never respond to that, you know? But apparently, you know, on my birth certificate, it was Tony Wisdom. I don't know how my dad had me enrolled in school from kindergarten till sixth grade as Tony Gaines, but that's who I knew I was. And then, if you know, I moved away for a couple years, and then I came back. And by the time I came back, I was used to the wisdom thing, so I just kept it. And when it came time to do music, and I started to get a little notoriety, and they needed a name, and I was like, you know, it ain't gonna be no fucking OG hippie. Yeah, it ain't gonna be none of that bullshit.
We don't do that.
I don't do all of that. So, as an ode to my father, I said, you know, the world can now know me as Tony Gaines, and that's, you know, because I'm a junior, essentially. That's his name, Tony Gaines. So,
what's up, Pops?
No doubt. So, Tony Gaines, the producer, man, self-made, self-taught. You know, I did, you know, shout out to the Weirdo, shout out to Big Keith, man, the people that brought me into the game, made me a professional. I kind of peaked early, you know, right in my first record.
You can say that.
Well, you know.
We'll get into that later, but he always the humble one, and yeah. I don't like it, because anybody knows me, I don't like that.
for a kid from Lawrence, man, my first album went through the roof. And shortly after that,
which let people know what album that was, so that everybody's clear on that.
Yeah, that's Bomb Squad Time's Up. That was my first professional release. And shortly after that, shit, you know, we had a studio on Mass Street. I'm coming to work every day on Mass Street, man. And, you know, we got Shock G down there. We got the Loonies
rest
down
there. Rest in
peace. Rest in peace, bro. Like, so.
Legend.
Tony Gaines, you know, he's complete. I say it all the time. They really are two different people, you know. Tony Gaines is my professional moniker. Tony Wisdom is a soldier for right.
I'll stand behind that.
And that's in every aspect of my life.
No shortcuts.
No shortcuts.
Done the right way.
What's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. Now, you know, I fell short of that. You know what I'm saying? But then I think back, you know, through all my times and most of my trouble I ever got in, I was standing on the principle or chasing the principle, you know. I'm a junkie for knowledge. I'm a teacher. I'm a father. You know, comedian, if you ask me, one of the funniest motherfuckers out here, you know. That's one of my next things. I'm looking for an open mic to stand up. You know, I think I can do a solid five. I think I got it.
I don't know if we're going to get a solid five. We get about 2.5 minutes. And then we're going to have somebody like me on the side talking my mess, you know.
So, yeah, that's me, man. That's me.
All right. Well, the next one I'll go with is, how do you define success?
You know, at the end of the day, I look at nature for that definition, right? So, if a seed falls off a plant, what makes it successful, right? Because it can be unsuccessful. It can just wither and die, you know what I'm saying? But when it plants roots, bears fruit, that's success. So finding a goal, setting a goal, and bearing fruit, setting some roots. Even if you weren't quote unquote successful, even if it didn't work. I've tried so many things, man, that didn't work. But the lessons I learned from them took me to the next thing. You know what I'm saying? So success absolutely 100% in my eyes has nothing to do with money unless that's your goal, right? If you have a goal to make $1 million and you bust your ass and you do everything you can to get it and you make that $1 million, you're successful. But you're also successful if you only make 100, but then two steps down the line you make $1 billion, because it's all
somebody
relative.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? Or you taught somebody, because that's another thing, you know, is spreading this wisdom and knowledge. We're not here to keep shit for ourselves. I mean, I've been here 44 years, you know, and I've gotten a lot farther in life helping people than I have being selfish or worrying about me, you know. So that's success to me, man. You know, planting a seed and tending to it, putting the work in to see it plant roots,
so you make it all
bear
the way
fruit
through.
Absolutely.
What drives you?
Shit, you know, I ask these questions all the time, right?
I know, but, and I'm used to other people hearing the answer, but I gotta listen to this.
I tried hard to not think about these ones, and I actually literally didn't think about them. So, because some of them I did, but, you know, what drives me, man? I think about when I started this music dream, right? And it was really me, man, Robert Martin, rest easy, homie. Like, we were just hustlers, bro. And it's my little brother.
What up, Rudy?
And we were just looking for a way out, right? Because coming out of high school, I didn't make a lot of good choices. And I'm an extreme type of person. So, like, if I do something, I'm all in. 100%. You know what I'm saying? So
every time.
And I didn't really feel like, you know, we had some incidents at West, man. You know, we took over the school and did some shit where I planted my reputation with the schools kind of early. And I didn't feel like there was anybody in them schools looking out for me or who gave a damn about me. And I always known I've been smart. I always knew it wasn't ever about the work, you know. So when I think about what drives me, I think about all those motherfuckers who told me I wasn't gonna do nothing.
Man.
You know? Or all those people who just had me summed up as one thing. You know, I get messages now with this deeply rooted thing, and people are like, you know, are you the same person that I knew? Like, and I want to be like, if you meet me today and then see me tomorrow, I'm not going to be the same person. Like, who the fuck stays the same person?
You're the same person all involved.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I have some of the same tendencies, but I mean, I think what they mean by that is like, they don't expect this from me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that in itself drives me too. It's like, I just like showing people that, you know, no matter what, man, like, no matter what, you can turn it around tomorrow, right? If you can't get a job because you can't read, well, guess what? We can do tomorrow. We can start fucking learning
Absolutely.
To read, bro.
Absolutely.
There's always a way.
I do have another question within
All
that.
Right.
Do you think that coming from this area and trying to do what you were trying to do and having the dream that you had, do you think that put an extra battery in your back? Because, I mean, you're from... Lawrence is a small place compared to Atlanta and, you know, Miami and New York and California and all the places that they say that they have to do this. And, you know, we got to go to those places too. And you have to still carry yourself kind of in a different way because you got way more to prove than everybody else. So.
Yeah, because they always say, you from where?
Exactly.
I can explain to them, you know how many times somebody just gave me the nickname Kansas?
As soon as we touch that, as soon as they hear that twang in your voice.
Now, that is a good question because one of my things, how I always represented myself in the music business is I know where I'm from. And I'm not ashamed of it for one second. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of the people I know and the way I grew up. And that which way you go 30 minutes that way, 20 minutes that way is completely different, right? But see, down here, they can say what they want about Lawrence, but the way I always carried it was, when you meet me, when you deal with me, when you interact with me, you're gonna say, I don't know about the rest of them, but Tone, he's the real deal. And that's how I carry myself. That's how I carry myself in New York with the Wu-Tang. Like, that's how I carry myself in Atlanta. That's how I carry, you know?
See, he does things like this all the time. And because I've grown up with him, I always have to point this out. When he goes through little things and he says, you know, Wu-Tang, you know what I'm saying? Can we get a little bit into how that happened and how that comes about, you know? Because these are important things that I feel like people need to know about you so they understand where you're coming from. When you've seen it all, this is a perspective of someone that's seen it all, you know what I'm saying? And then giving it to you in a nice, clean form.
I was fortunate enough to spend 6 weeks in Staten Island with my brother. He's my brother now, you know, but with Raekwon from the Wu-Tang. Now, if you know me, if you follow my career, I just assume, because I don't really watch, I just assume people haven't seen it, you know, or heard it or whatever. But I do a lot of work with my man, Boy Big. That's my brother. We've been working for years. Boy Big's on the first Bomb Squad album. It's on the second Bomb Squad album.
Absolutely.
Like, if you go back, you see me and Big been working for a long time. Well, there was a point in time where Big started working with DJ Premier. He did a Gangstar record. You can Google it. I think it's called Nice Girl or something like that.
They played on Versus, right?
He has a Ghostface record too. Okay. So they played on the verses with Ray and Ghost. They played that. And I was like, damn, that's the homie. I forgot even about the record, right? So Big was going down there to work with Primo, and he's like, Tone, Will, I'm bringing my producer, I'm bringing my engineer. And Ecstasy, the rapper, I come through. He came with us. So we went down there and stayed with my man, Dava Chief. Rest in peace, brother. Recently passed. And man, he walked us in Primo's studio. You know, we stayed with Ray. We took all the gear, set it up at Ray's house. And what we're trying to do is get Boy Big Records for Ray. You know, they was going to work on the album together because Ray got a record label called Ice Water Inc. And I think the plan was at that time to try for them. You know, so it was just us sitting up there basically making beats all day, man, blowing big. You know, listen, watching all these crazy motherfuckers
with Wu-Tang,
slide over to the other side, go mess with Ghostface, and he got nothing but Italians. It looked like the Sopranos set over there. man, RZA, man, you know, this music has taken me places, man.
That's crazy.
It really has, and I'm like so fortunate for that shit. I'm so grateful, and like this Deeply Rooted thing has really kind of shown me that as I'm going back and I'm calling my friends up and I'm starting to talk, and like to where some of my friends are at right now, like Frank Hensley, like y'all just thought that was a dude. I promise you, if you Google him, there's probably not four or five people more powerful than that dude in the entire music business. Like, bro's up there. His next promotion is vice president, something like that. You know, and I can't even say the company. Like bro is like really out there. So it's crazy, man. Like,
it's important for me to ask these questions because you're such a humble person. And
I get it.
And people gotta understand where the perspective is coming from. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you say success, people always think that money, and they're just millions of dollars, millions of dollars, millions of dollars. But if you set out to be respected, and you set out to, when I touch down with people who are known for this, and they give me the love and the respect, you know what I'm saying, to me, there's no higher, you know, praise than that, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's just, I don't know. I always wanted a Grammy, bro. Like I always shot really, really high.
Yeah.
Now, I chose to stay here
100%
because of my kids. 100%. If you know me, you know Elias, you know Xavier, you know Zion. Dudes are awesome. And like, I wasn't leaving them, bro. I wasn't missing touchdowns and baseball games and choir concerts and shit. I wasn't doing it. It wasn't fair because I was chasing a dream. Because if you bring money into it, I mean, it just means I have to work 10 times harder from Kansas. So I attempted to work 10 times harder. And as a result, my career is legendary. I mean, to some people, like, I don't know. Like to me, I look back now and I'm like, damn, like, that was a lot. Like, I did a lot.
when you go over a story and you gotta say Shock G, and then you gotta hold up and just say rest in peace, you know, there's pictures and there's documented. When I was a kid coming up, you know, one of the things that made me pay attention to you guys, I did know that studio existed on Mass Street, and I did know that you guys were doing these type of things. And to see legends come through this itty bitty small town and they're coming to come work with you guys, one of the highest praises you can get. I mean, was he Grammy nominated at that particular time? I mean he's already got Tupac out there. He's Humpty's already out.
Yeah. And I got to work with Humpty. That was the
you
best
know what
part
I mean?
But no, I'm humble just because I don't feel like, I guess you guys say I'm humble just because I don't feel like me saying and talking about that shit all the time increases my value. Like, see, a lot of people that do that shit is more about increasing their personal value, right? Like, if it comes up in conversation, it is what it is. But like, to me, those are just people. Those are colleagues. Like there's a reason why, you know, I can sit in the room with them like that, bro. Because, you know, like, I am that. It's just, I stayed here.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with that. And but if you look at a producer from Lawrence, Kansas, like, man, come on, man.
Points
I'm
on
proud
the board.
Of that
points
shit, bro. I, you know,
board,
I just don't
know.
Say it, but I'm proud of it.
I wanted him to say that, and I had to get it out. Because he'll never do it, so there we go. All right.
Can they hear all right? Ask yeah, can absolutely. They hear right? All right, cool.
The next one I'm going to do is, how has a failure or an apparent failure helped you out or set the course for something different to happen in your life?
I'm not a person who believes in failure, but we're going to go setbacks, right? And I'm going to take it all the way back to YCAT, okay? For those of you that don't know.
For those who don't know, what's YCAT?
YCAT is essentially a prison for kids. If you're in Kansas, so it's Youth Center at Topeka. It is a prison. It's just for kids, right? If you haven't done something serious enough to send you to the penitentiary as a juvenile, but, you know, it's the worst place you can go. So I'm in here. I really have no direction for my life. I just doing what I do. Having fun, you know, standing on principles, like I said before.
Being wild.
And it lands me in here because I buck authority like no other. Like, it's just what I do. I'm excellent at that shit, right? And one day, I mean, we have what's like a high school, right? And there's classes, and they got us in this, like, it's like really like a high school. Because this is a prison, you got like cottages that you live in. And there might be like 50 people in your cottage, and there might be like 10 to 12 cottages, right? So you got people from everywhere, Wichita, Topeka, Kansas City, there's some of the wildest, and this is in the 90s. So the gangbanging shit was out of control, and it kind of really went by city, but Wichita had the most people by far, then Kansas City, Topeka, whatever. There was only one or two other Lawrence dudes in there. So like, the gangbanging shit wasn't gonna work for me. I actually played basketball while I was in there, which we got to play against Lawrence High. I take them to double overtime. I hit the winning shot. It was fucking great. Like, I wasn't losing to them suckers, man.
And it was a sweet payback. You know, sweet, so.
But anyway, I'm in there. They take us to this class. One of my classes in high school was career development or career training or some shit, right? They teach you how to balance a checkbook, fill out an interview.
The important then, stuff.
Yeah. Which was actually dope. Like, that's like, saying, like, I actually got that. I didn't get that shit at Lawrence High, you know? But then one day, they were playing videos from trade schools, like equestrian school, like motorcycle repair school, aeronautics, whatever. And this is one of those moments in my life where, like, in Blues Brothers, you know, in Blues Brothers, where that moment where he's in the church and the light come down, sure. And then you hear, oh,
yeah.
like I heard that shit, bro, because they put on a video for Full Sail. I had never once in 17 years considered that I could have a music career. I didn't know that. I didn't know that there were studios.
100%.
Like, I don't know why that escaped me. I mean, I knew that they existed, but I just didn't think it was something that I could possibly do.
And from here, there's nothing like that around here. You have to almost know somebody and be grandfathered in for to even know how it works.
Absolutely. My cousin did music, you know, in the early 90s, so, but it was just such an abstract thing. But I see this video, and it's all about Come to Full Sail, which is a school in Orlando, Florida, by the way. And I just remember being like, damn, I could do that shit. So I went home and back to my cottage, and you have a phone list of only, you can only call the three or four people who are approved on your list. You can't use the phone for anything else. So he wouldn't let me call the 1-800 number. Like, I begged this dude all night. Like, bro, like, you call it. Like, I don't have to call it. You call it. Here's the number, you know what I mean? I just want the brochure. That's all I want.
Trying to better yourself, you know what I mean?
And that dude went home. And he called, bro, and he got it sent to me. Well, he got it sent to him, and then he brought it into me. And I sat and watched that thing, man, looked at it for months, like, until I got out of there. And, like, so that, for me, is, like, being in YCAT and which some people could have took as the worst place ever, end of my life. You know, it could have been the end of my life because I could have went out, got out of there and continued with just a life of crime and had no goal and no ambition or nothing. That gave me something to shoot for, and I shot for it. By 19, I was enrolled. I went up there and paid my deposit in cash with, you know, but hey, it is what it, like I did,
you know what I'm saying?
But I didn't, you know, I got in trouble. We had a great going away party and all of that shit, and I didn't make it.
But, you know, within that story, something important happened, because you had a guest on here that's one of my favorite guests, Pat. And this is a man who's traveled around the world. What do you say, 19 times he's been around the world? And one thing that I love about you, and one of the reasons I wanted to do this interview, is because you did the same thing for me. Any information that you've ever given, even if you could not use it, and you said it before, you made sure to give it to somebody else, and that person stayed within the team. And so when you did that, and you couldn't go, and still got Pat to go, who ended up having a career off based on it.
It's three. It ain't just him.
See?
Because my man Zoe, I call Leon, but Alfonso Burton, he's doing like the graphic designs for like WWE Xbox games and shit. Like, bro is out of this world. And he was another one. There ended up being four people that went to Full Sail because of that situation, and three of them went on and did amazing things, and ironically, years later, I graduated from Full Sail. Like, I got that degree. It was in something else, you know what I'm saying, but I eventually got it, so it's not like I just let it go, you know. So that's my answer to that question, bro. Damn right. Why cat, bro?
Alright, if you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, what would it say and why?
Kill the ego, ignite the soul.
We gonna say it one more time.
Kill the ego, ignite the soul.
And then go ahead and give your definition.
See, because our ego is who our physical body, which is comprised of our brain, and these little neurons that fire with memories and experiences and perception and observation, right? All of that put together kind of tells us who we are, right? But if something happened right now in this room, say something blew up, right? And then you give it 2 months, and then you come talk to us all individually, we're gonna see it differently, right? And that in itself lets you know that your memory and your mind can play tricks on you. You see what I'm saying? Now, your soul is your part of you that is the observer to those thoughts, right? It's the part that you can never explain. It's like when we talk about music, and I always tell you, like, your job is to be a vessel.
100%.
Right? Because when it comes to creativity, or infinite intelligence, as I like to call it, right? These ideas are just popping in your head, and you don't know where they come from, and you observe them. So if we use that as a metaphor, you know what I'm saying? Your true inner self is where they come from. Your mind interprets them. And then what do we do a lot of the time?
Your ego.
Our mind and our ego come in and start fucking with it. Right? And that's how you'll have a studio session where a dude records 72 takes over and over again because he's not being a vessel. He's getting in the way. You know what I'm saying? So for me, that's my mission. That's the mission with Deeply Rooted. This team we're building, this mission that we're on is to kill the ego and ignite the soul. I want everybody to get their Leroy glow, man. And if you know what that means, you know what that means.
That Bruce,
like,
Leroy.
That Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. He was a black kung fu dude who all he wanted to do reach his ultimate form. And when he reached it, he got a glow, like a physical glow. You know what I'm saying? So if you ever see me say that, that's what we trying to do. And see, I'm gonna keep using that because there's another example of that. Yeah. There's two sides of it. This shit is all duality, you know? But yeah, the Leroy glow, man.
That quote is important also because I do know, you know, we're students of this game too, and we all know about Quincy. And you know, when they did the We Are the World thing. Mm-hmm. Had all the best musicians in the world, and they asked him, how in the world did they get that done? And he put, lose your ego on a sign and put it on front. Well, you got Michael Jackson singing background. That's the true thing right there.
No doubt. And really, man, if we could all do that, we all would have our globe, bro. Kill the ego, ignite the soul.
Get out your own way.
Church.
What's one of the best or most worthwhile investments you've ever made?
Without a doubt, 100% Boss DR660 drum machine.
Okay, hold on. He just went real nerd on us. We gotta go back. Go ahead and tell him why that was the best investment.
Because that's how I learned. That was my first piece of gear. My man Pat went half with me.
Pat's a real soldier, by the way.
Pat's my guy, man.
What up,
and
Pat?
That's what I'm saying. Like, he been through this shit with me since the beginning, bro. Like, he really has. And so it's this little drum machine that wasn't really professional. You know what I'm saying? It had some 808s and shit in it. And my homeboy, who actually, Leon, Alfonso Burton, that I was talking about before, his big brother William, who actually, these dudes, I used to beef with these dudes, and they were the reason really that I was in Wildcat. tripping with these motherfuckers.
Funny how that
going
worked,
back and
yeah.
forth. Not so much Leon, but me and Will. Not even me and Will. It was never really even me and Will. It was just my homies, man. And you know, we bout that action, I guess, so to speak, and it just always got so far. But William was starting to get equipment, get drum machines and shit, right? And I'd be over there kicking it with Leon, and I'd just play. He'll show me sometimes. I'd be boom, 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 you know? So I got to a point where I knew how to use that fucking thing, and I got shot when Leah was pregnant with Xavier, which is my first son, and the way things was headed with my circle of friends, you know, I got to thinking about my son and I needed to sit my ass down, bro. Like, really, truthfully and honestly. And the Boss DR660 that I paid $150 for at the pawn shop on fucking 6th Street, like, it made me sit down, chill with my son, and it kept my mind from what the fellas was doing, you know what I'm saying? And like, just because it was so intriguing, and I just sat there and I taught myself that thing, and I would just imitate beats that I heard that I liked. It don't got no instruments, just drums, you know? But absolutely 100%, because that shit changed my life. Music changed my life. It really did. It gave me hope and purpose where before there was none. My hope and purpose was like, make as much money as I can and have as much fun as I can until the wheels fall off. Like, so absolutely, Boss DR660, man. I still want one. I just want one just to sit around see it, you know?
I mean, that's another aha moment. That's a life-changing moment. I remember when I got mine. What small act of kindness were you shown that you'll never forget?
You know, I thought about it as we was telling that Wildcat story. That was one of them, man.
I thought about that because I never heard that story. I didn't know he made the phone call.
Like, bro, hey, Mr. Joe, Joseph Sepulveda. I never forget homie name.
Shout out.
Yeah, that was a big one. But you know, honestly, anytime somebody from this deeply rooted group shouts me out or sends me a message and lets me know that shit's helping them, like, it doesn't take much for them to do that or to say thank you or you know, or you, right? Like, you listening to me and taking shit and applying it, you know what I'm saying? Like, those are small acts of kindness that to it, that I see them that way, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm coming from a place of genuine, you know what I'm saying? Like, I never want anything from it.
Never.
And, you know, so I know, like we were saying before, I know it seems like I'm humble, but it's just I appreciate it. I feel deep, you know? So anytime y'all show me love, y'all participate, and you get behind this movement, man. And hopefully the more we get into it, the more you'll see that we genuinely are just coming from a place of love. I'm dedicating the rest of my life to service. That's, you know, something I've come up with. It was another aha moment I just had a couple weeks ago, you know? So, yeah.
You extend that to other people, because my aha moment, of course, is, we said it earlier, the Bomb Squad. Mm-hmm. They got the whole CD, and you see everybody on the cover, and this is funny because it's just like your personality. Yeah. This little shadow in the background, you see a dude with a hood on off to the side. And he's not even looking, I don't think you're looking the same direction as everybody, because you're never looking the same direction as everybody, and that's just the way it is, you know what I'm saying? But that aha moment was like, okay, well, who's this guy in the background, you know what I mean? And from the moment I met you, it was always information, information, information. You know what I mean? Because I'm wide-eyed, I don't know nothing. And listening to you tell this story is funny, because it's like, you went through all these things, and then you really turned around and you gave it to every single person. You, like you said, there's four guys that went to Full Sail. There's me. There's a long list of people on this tree. Yeah, you know, that keeps going. You know what I mean? We all show up on Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. You know?
Well, it's why I use the image of the tree. It's why I use Deeply Rooted, right? Because that image, if you look at that tree, like, that's how I feel, right? Like, there's so many people that are on my tree. I'm on Will's, like, I'm on Icy Rock's tree. To me, that shit is fucked.
Which,
like,
we're gonna get into some of these names here in a second.
But, like, that's just crazy to me. Those are people who, you know, I was a super fan of. Like, nobody else might not even know who they are.
We'll just do it right now. Yeah. We'll say, for people who don't know, who is Will the Weirdo?
Will the Weirdo is our season one, episode one guest. He's my, what I call my sensei. The first actual professional engineer that I really met that taught me so many things. He's my partner in 5150, along with Keith Lonaker.
Rest in peace.
These dudes brought me in to do the Bomb Squad album. And Will just opened up and taught me everything. Not just music. Like, Will exposed me to the law of attraction. He exposes me to so many things in my life. Now he's my good friend. You know what I'm saying? At first he was just my colleague, but, like, somebody teach you that much shit, like, you know what I'm saying?
I know the feeling.
But he's legendary. Like, he's literally one of the best engineers in the game, period. He just doesn't have the accolades, because this, you know, it's been tormenting. Coming from where we come from
it's hard,
man, doing this thing, you know? But Will has some ill records, and Icy Rock is kind of his partner. Both of them are Nut House members.
I was going to say, we got to tell, because these guys have accolades. To us, you know, we're used to all this stuff, but, you know, the beginning of some very important people's careers start with these guys.
Yeah.
And as we talk about the tree, it's important to let people know how far this tree goes, because this tree is really big. So go ahead and tell about Icy Rock and Will and...
Well, Icy Rock, man, like, another aha moment I had, because Full Sail was all about being a producer. When I saw that, engineer, when I saw that in YCAT, that's about working in the studio, recording people, twisting knobs.
Yeah.
Icy Rock, my introduction to the music business was as a investor. We invested in a record label early on when we were 18, 19 years old. I started my first company when I was 18. And I've been starting companies ever since, but we put 50 grand into that dude, man. And we ended up
in what year?
90 5.
So with inflation and everything else, that's like impossible right now. So we're gonna keep going.
Yeah, so that was my introduction. So which I actually learned later that the reason Maurice, who is the artist that we invested in, and you know, he knew Icy Rock and he was buying his beats from Icy Rock. But the reason he knew him is because he worked at Checkers and Will worked for Coca-Cola, dropping off Coca-Cola. So it was Will from the beginning. I didn't know that. I just found that out like about a year ago.
That's funny.
So Icy Rock, I go to his house the first time. I'm coming with my artist now. I'm a businessman. I'm 18 years old. I don't know what the hell's going on. I walk into what is the infamous Rock Pit in Kansas City, which I'll tell you in a second who has come out of that Rock Pit. But like, and I saw all this equipment, bro, keyboards and drum machines and shit. And I had my little, you know what I'm saying? And actually, I don't even know. No, I did not.
I hadn't even gotten that yet.
This was the first time that I ever knew that a young black dude could have all this shit in his house and make beats.
Yeah.
Like, because prior to me being in the music business, I'm the dude in my crew who's got the new CD when it comes out. I wait in line. I'm a fan of music,
yeah.
Like a super fan, like a nerd, to, you know what I'm saying, to where, like, I really love and breathe this shit. So when I found out I could make it, you know, so I don't know where we were going, but
we were talking about the tree and how.
So coming out of Rock Pit, though, like after seeing that, meeting Rock, almost all the strange music comes out of Rock Pit.
Tech N9ne
comes out of Rock Pit. Chris Calico comes out of Rock Pit. Cut Calhoun, Snug and Scatter.
The genesis of what is the music that's recognized as Kansas City and Kansas in this area right now all starts with these guys who are all behind the scenes like yourself, who are very quiet. And me knowing this information the whole time and playing both sides, you know, wanting to be an artist and then wanting to be behind the scenes too, I get it. And I see why you guys are humble, because you're just working. Every day you're just trying to get ahead. But at the same time, bro, to the world, they got to understand where this all starts.
I have to be humble, bro.
Yeah.
Icy Rock's my big homie.
Yeah.
He did this ring. I don't think I will ever do anything that good. I put that on his page the other day. I was like, bro, you still to this day make me want to not even produce, bro. It's so ill, because I sat here and watched him and what he does.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I know what I do, right? And I'm not taking anything for myself, but that's what Therapy Brothers was. That's why Therapy Brothers blew my damn mind, because Will and Icy Rock invited me to be a producer trio, and we did a whole album with the entirety of the city, bro. Like, that one missed people, but if you look at what that was probably one of the biggest records that came out the city. Just nobody really pumped it, because Will left shortly after that. It hurt, like, he was hurt by the fact that people didn't get on the mission, and he was gone.
Because these are the architects of the sound. That there's two distinct sounds, but when they think about our area, you've got the strange music sound, and then we'll get into this in a second, you've got the street sound, which is Rich the Factor sound.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you fall in the line of both of those, and the tree goes all the way through. Yeah. And when it's deeply rooted, you gotta, you know, start with
I'm one of the very few people that work with both.
With both.
I mean, there are some, but
and
I'm
really
one of the
within
very
the
few
thick
people.
Of both.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Rich is my guy. That's like, if I had to choose a side, that there's no choice.
Shout
for
out
me.
To the whales.
That's a, like I am that. That's who I am. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I've moved on from music just in general, but like, if I'm gonna be anywhere, if I was gonna be in the industry, I'd probably be with Ray and them. Not even probably, like, out of all the people I met, that's probably the only place to be good for me.
Yeah. Understandable. But the sound is still, it still comes from when you got Icy Rock, you got Will, you got yourself. any other producers you want to put on that tree,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Hell yeah, you know Don Juan. You can't take Don Juan out of it because he's ill.
Yep.
Incredible Zig, ill. A lot of people don't know who he is because he moved, but the dude was out of, goddamn, he was out of control. Shit. I'll leave it there.
Mount Rushmore.
DJ Fresh. DJ Fresh is dope, bro. DJ Fresh has always been dope, yeah.
The Mount Rushmore of what is our area and what became our area. Because as you've even stepped away, the sound that was created by all of you guys and even yourself in one side completely, it hasn't gone away anywhere. You know what I'm saying? All the kids out here, they try to replicate it and try to duplicate it and they try to make it all over again. But to be honest, it was made a long time ago and it kind of starts with you guys and the nucleus of that circle.
No doubt.
Get back to these questions. We'll get off another stuff in a second.
No, we'll get to it.
Okay. In the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life? And we talk about these every day, so I know you got a couple.
I mean, there's so, like, I think 5 years too long for me. I've been doing too much changing in 5 years. I'll just start with just this year, the beginning of the year, reading every single day, man.
And you are big on that. You're huge on information and finding information and sourcing it out for yourself.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really helped me a lot. The work I put in personal development and, you know, trying to grow. I learn shit every day. So it's so many principles that I learn. But it all stems from reading and taking in information. So, and I've been very intentional this particular year. I've read more books this year than probably in my whole entire life.
You sent me about 100, maybe 1,000 of them.
No doubt.
Life-changing books, though. Things that actually help. Let's see. What advice would you give to a smart, driven kid about to enter the real world, and what advice should they ignore?
I think it's simple, man. Like, figure out what you would do if they didn't pay you. And do that.
Yep.
And go after it with everything you got. And fuck everybody and what they got to say. There is their own experiences, their own memories, their own traumas, their own limiting beliefs that they're going to try to project on you and tell you what you can't do. But remember this, like anything that got invented, right as the person was inventing it, everybody around him told him he was crazy.
Absolutely.
Everybody. Right? Think of the internet. Think of the lights. Think of telephones, cars, right? So, if you do it for free, go after that. That's your heart, right? So, kill the ego, ignite the soul. That's one way to do it. So, that would be my advice.
What personal prisons have you built out of fear, and how did you escape them?
It's the first time we asked that question on the show. But I figure for me, because I feel like for most guests, that's got a kind of a negative, and I'm trying to keep this positive, you know. But I go back to Coach Carter. I believe it's a Da Vinci quote, but I could be wrong about whose quote it is. But I got it initially in my life from Coach Carter, the movie. And it says, our greatest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure.
True.
And in terms of personal prisons, I think I've been scared of that in the past, right? Knowing my power and maybe not wanting to deal with the responsibility that comes with that or you know. So I built personal prisons. I like I cut myself off. People don't have access to me. Like, I got chastised about that shit, man. And it's why you start to see me more, and I'm out here more, is because...
And I got a lot of that, too, because I'm close to you.
And you get a lot of it. Like you know, so... Yeah, man. Like it literally was a personal prison, you know? Like, you couldn't get to me, and I blocked myself off, so... and what's the second part of that question?
Let's see. And how did you escape them?
I'm escaping them by information and by intention. Because I believe intention is one of the most important things, right? You got to be intentional about whatever you're doing. So, intention and applying shit. Because all the knowledge in the world does not matter if you don't apply it.
Very true.
Period, point blank. And like I said, I'm a junkie for knowledge, right? So I would take in all this information, and for years, building up my personal prison, not apply it, because then that means now I'm responsible for being powerful. You know, see, I know we're all scared of it, right? Yeah. Like, of like being who you're really supposed to be is scary. Because
it seems easy too.
it seems easy, and people like me, or you know, people you hear, they might make it seem like we think it's easier, that we think that everybody is like us, and is that's another thing that I'm really having to learn, is like when to meet people where they're at, how to meet people where they're at. Because everybody, and my cousin told me the other day, she said, "Look, everybody doesn't want to be like you."
100%.
So you got to stop doing it.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah.
All right, let me go. In the last 5 years, what have you done to become better at saying no to distractions, invitations, etc.?
Music.
He is not kidding about that. Look, man, look, while we're on this platform, I'm going to tell y'all, while y'all thinking I just got access to every beat and I could just come over here whenever I want to, that's a lie, okay? He got a hard drive that he's holding on to that he tells me I can get access to. I don't know how to get access to it. But when we get in the studio, it's about 10 minutes to make a song, so I don't trip. But...
Nah, man, it's not you by any means.
No, I know.
It's like... I spend a lot of time, like, putting all this energy, you know, because Will is my sensei, so I only know one speed. Like, when me and Will used to work, we would do ungodly amounts of
light speed.
Like, it's just, that's how I'm built, and that's how I'm wired for anything that I commit to. So... after, you know, because I have over 1,000 songs released on like 90 different, 100 different projects. So, after all of that work, not everybody is going to put in the same amount of effort. They're not going to care. And as a producer, it's kind of fucked up because you don't have control over marketing. You don't have control over, or you know, how hard the artist works to promote it.
Or mixing it.
So it's like, I had to get better at saying no to, like, I got you, right? Like, so any rapper that comes in, like, you can do whatever, but you know, why do I need to work with you? I can work with him.
Hard he makes my life?
Right? So I don't, like, it became a point to where I started feeling almost like a prostitute, man. Like if you pay me the money, you can get the service. And the art of it went away, and the integrity of the art of it.
And your name is so heavy on it, you know.
And then everybody comes to me to use my name. Yeah. So then... you get these people who just scrape up the money. They don't give about nothing about the art. They think my name is going to help them, which it ain't going to help you at all. But, you know, they think so. And then it just killed my love for the game. So I had to get better at saying no to that, to the point to where I retire. I had to retire. So that.
Okay. I would ask, the second part of that is any tips, but I think that you gave the tips.
Yeah, for sure.
When you feel overwhelmed or unfocused or lost your focus temporarily, what do you do? What questions do you ask yourself?
You know, what I learned, because I had a rough 10 years, you know, and what I learned is emotions are fleeting. Mm. And I learned to feel them. Seriously, like, feel them.
Yeah.
And take that time and not put pressure on myself to heal or to meet anybody's expectations. Feel them and let them go. Because if you feel them and then are led by them, right? That's how people lose their whole life. Like you can waste a whole lifetime being led by emotions. And they're another thing that goes to, that's part of my body. That's part of my, you know, this whatever's going on in here that's making me feel these emotions. Sometimes they're not even real.
Sometimes
you think something's happening. You think somebody's looking at you from across the way and you mad as hell. Then you look up and there's a TV above your head
exactly.
And they ain't even looking
exactly.
at you. You know what I'm saying?
And you ready to risk it all for nothing.
Right? So, you know, when I feel overwhelmed or whatever, I really try to tap into, like, what's going on? What emotion is here? And, you know, I just try to feel it, bro. I have my own medicinal ways, my music, you know. The highway is a peaceful place for me. It's
me
a place
too.
Of healing, man. Uh-huh. I can just kind of turn my phone off and roll and listen to music. So if I got to roll and blow and, you know, that's some physical things that I'll do, you know. Getting in nature always does good for me. Whether it's just walking on a trail, just going to the lake or whatever, you know, it's that perspective of how small we actually really are in the big scheme of things, you know. So
getting together on our group, our Wednesday groups,
Wednesdays,
you know,
help a lot, for
which
sure.
help a lot of people
mm-hmm.
at the same time. Now this is crazy to me that you've even got this question on here. I said this to you because we are music fiends. We are not normal. And people might think that all we do is sit around and listen to rap because that's what they mostly know us for. You know what I'm saying? And I know you better than that, and you know me better than that. So we listen to so much music, but what song would you consider the soundtrack to your life? And I don't know how you're going to pick one. You told me you can pick one, and I'm interested to hear this answer. So,
Donny Hathaway, A Song for You. Donny Hathaway is just himself, the exemplification of, like, mastery, bro.
100%.
Like,
it's funny that you chose someone like that.
Yeah.
Because the people that we even choose, you know, there's so much study done behind the scenes on that. Because mine is like Quincy Jones, and if you start with Puff Daddy and those type of guys, and if you start watching how I navigated through music, you see that in me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then when you say Donny Hathaway, you're like, this is someone who's a master of his craft. Anybody who makes music, this guy is top of your list. He's up there. Like, you got
for
Stevie
sure.
Wonder, you got Hathaway. These are legends. There are certain people that they're going to say these names.
Yeah.
Super respected. But maybe to the rest of the people, they may not know.
Man.
You know what I mean? Like,
you said, man, I've been so many places in my life and time. I sung a lot of songs. I made some bad rhymes. You know, I acted out my life in stages with 10,000 people watching, you know, but we're alone now and I'm singing this song to you, you know, that shit, it gets me emotional, bro, because it's
I almost got emotional. Like, that's a choker.
It's really, that's the one, man, and the way it starts, the piano that he does in there, bro, and the way he just walks it down and plays with it, it's like him at his finest moment. So it's not so much about the song as it is everything came together in that moment and it was perfect, and it's me.
Yeah.
You know, so absolutely, Donny Hathaway, A Song for You.
Hopefully my one will come, because I don't have one. If we try to do it for me, it's going to be a whole DJ mix with the bam, 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 all that. So I got a question for you that's not on here. What, through your whole career, are you most proud of, and what are you most not proud of?
Well, what I'm not proud of, and I'm trying to make up for now, is my negative effect. The type of music we did, the influential people that I worked with, we missed a lot of shots. It was a lot of things we could have did, you know, to make things better. I lost a lot of friends. So, yeah.
Most proud of?
I'm proud that I made a sound that people stole and they imitate, and like, I'm proud of that, man. I'm proud of y'all that are on my tree. I'm proud that a little knucklehead motherfucker from Lawrence got this far, man. So, I don't know why the hell I got some.
It's a good question. He didn't know I was going to ask him that question. Hey, I didn't know it was going to mess him up that much. We talk about this stuff all the time. But, yeah, I mean, for the negative, a lot of that has to do with the environment in which, because I'll speak on that just if it make you feel any better. The environment in which a lot of us and a lot of the people that you worked with created in is what gets that sound. And, you know, there's going to be clowns that come through, you know, that do what they do. But some of those guys are speaking from their hearts for the time that they were. And one thing that I can say about you is I've watched you talk to all of us and pull all of us to the side. From Rich to me to everybody. Everybody gets the same talk eventually because you recorded all our music. You know what I'm saying? I remember making an album. I'm 19, 20 years old. I just want to be a knucklehead. You know what I mean? To the fullest. And I make nine shoot 'em up, get money, rob 'em, fuck this, fuck that songs. And of all people in the world, Tony pulls me aside and he's like, man, your 10th song, it better be happy. He said, I'm not going to let you do this shit. He's like, man, you got a grandma, man. You act like every day is bad, bro. You act like you don't smile. And that shit stuck with me to this day. You know what I'm saying? Real shit. You know what I mean? Because the power that all of us have in our voices, we don't know. You know, we need somebody else sometimes to tell them. And for you to be the person to tell them is, within that being unhappy about it, you did your part.
I get that.
You know what I'm saying?
Salud. My bad, y'all. That's a rough one for me, man. Like, I carry that one. You know, we working on it.
Absolutely. Okay, well, let me ask you another one. What do you think is the biggest change you've seen since starting and exiting?
Well, not exiting,
because you're not done, but, yeah, you know, slowing up the work that you have been doing.
It's pretty simple, man. Like, for me to get where I got, I had to teach myself equipment. Mm. No YouTube. Mm. No.
Just tell me the story about the manual. Having to read the entire
My first keyboard was, well, I didn't read the entire manual on that one.
Okay.
My first keyboard I acquired. And
shout out Ange.
I took a shot, man. I was willing to go to the fire for that keyboard, man. But my karma for how I acquired it was nobody knew. The only person I knew was Icy Rock, who knew how to do all of this stuff. I think Will was gone. The other Will Burton was gone at the time. So I literally spent about 6 months, man, probably about 8 to 10 hours a day. If you ask anybody that was around me at the time, that's like all I did. And I went through every button, every menu on this keyboard. I could get it to do everything but one thing, and that was record.
The most important thing.
And I was on AOL 2.0, internet just out, like for most people like us don't even got it, but I got computers and I plug this bitch in and figure it out. Right? So I found the company and I ordered the manual for the keyboard, and it took 6 weeks to get to me. I opened it up and I read one sentence, and I've been gone ever since. So I tell that story because it's the work that I put in and the dedication to learning
your
my
craft. That's what I was trying to get.
Okay. You couldn't go get a demo copy of some software and next thing you know put some beats up on the internet, sell them for $2, and now you call yourself a producer. Like, that's the biggest thing. In my era, you basically don't step out.
No.
Like, we'll eat you. Like, you don't want to, when I was in doing my thing, you don't even want to play your beat this after I play mine. I'm going
to
eat you.
And
man.
He means that. And that happens to this day, too.
Like, I'll eat you. So, once that changed and they could download and MP3s came around and Napster came around, the music, the money exited the game for people like me, right? So nobody's willing to pay $500 a beat no more when they can go download all the new Cameron beats. You know what I'm saying? So like, it changed to where the money came out of it and my value went all the way down, not from anything that I did. You know what I'm saying? But I couldn't be mad because these are the kids that I inspired. These are the kids that are doing what I would have did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like, I was never mad at it. It just, I had to figure out a way to function within that new shit, you know. And then I think just so many people doing it took the quality out of the shit, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You don't really have people focusing on their craft anymore and going the long way, like Rich says, taking the stairs. Everybody's taking the elevator nowadays. Absolutely. And if you want to be a master at what you do, it takes 10,000 hours. There's no way around it. You can be precise with it, you can count it if you want to, but if you don't put that much work in, to me, like, and that was another thing that was hard. It's like a kid, he just got the new Fruity Loops, he just put out a mixtape with so-and-so, like 200 people listened to it, so now he thinks he's relevant, and now I'm expected to respect this dude as a colleague. I got probably 20,000 hours in this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm not.
And if you ask them to do things like track out the beat or make it start on the actual one it's supposed to start on, or, you know, I don't know, tune your kick drum to your 808 and all that stuff.
They have no idea. But I also was fortunate in my career to be in rooms. Like, when you're in a room with DJ Premier and you press play on the beat, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and you tell him, oh, I don't know what I did.
Exactly.
I just got the demo. Like, nah, brother. I've been fortunate to be in some rooms where it taught me to have my shit together. It's like I always told you, right? When it comes to recording, the last thing you want to do, and this is for anybody, 100%. Right? This is why you learn your crap, right? The last thing you want to do is get your shot. Be in a room with your favorite rapper. And he says, I'm leaving town. I got 45 minutes left on this session. If you can get in there and do your thing, you own the song, right? But if you're not prepared for the moment and you can't do a song in 45 minutes because you got all these excuses. Well, my man usually writes it, and then I don't have my favorite notebook. And then I wasn't really feeling
it. I write in red ink only.
This dude right here, he's not playing when he says, me and him can start from nothing. Right? We'll do it one day. We should do it one day and just go live just to show you that we can do it. Right? Like, we'll start from nothing. Beat, song, idea, nothing. I'll sit in here and start playing. Give us an hour. The whole song will be produced, recorded, done. Well, it might not be mixed, but we started.
It's pretty much mixed.
Like, we can really do that. And I bet we can do it in under an hour.
I know.
Like, 45 minutes, 30 minutes.
To the point where now we don't even plan on making songs. The last few songs that we made, I just walked in the studio and we just did them. And I don't think we were trying to do that day.
Yeah.
I do want to ask you this. What's the most fun that you had
in music.
Yeah, over your career, can you pick some of the biggest, the most fun highlights that you can have out of it? It ain't gotta be, you know, it ain't gotta be a song. It could be just over the span of running around, being in different cities, being in different, you know, having to live this life.
We had so much fun. Like, Detroit was a special trip. Bomb Squad went, and you know, we got to meet MC Breed, you know what I'm saying? Like, we performed with Jesse Powell. It was a Gilbert Brown event. It was our first big concert that we ever did with other people, you know what I'm saying? Like, famous people and shit. And, like, they're treating us like celebrities. They got us in suites, and Gilbert took care of us, you know what I'm saying? And, like, we're in the VIP. Like, it just, man, that was a great trip. And I got to go to the Motown Museum while I was up there, man. So that's definitely one of the tops right there. Me and my man Hawk, we had a blast running around New York City. Same type of thing, you know, stylists and photo shoots, and you know, it just that traveling for me, man, yeah. And just being who I am, coming from where I come from, bro. And just I'll look up and be like, dude, you're like in Staten Island.
Yeah, where the hell am I at?
Like, you know, Lawrence, dude, I grew up in a trailer car over there by Kennedy, bro. Like, you know, so
yeah.
I think about that, or I think about them early Bomb Squad times, man, like, you couldn't tell us the sky wasn't the limit. You couldn't tell us we wasn't the hottest thing out here,
and
bro.
And anybody who says that didn't give everybody in this city that same feeling when that album came out, because that's what it did. It was like, I don't know, it's almost like the Jayhawks winning or something like that. You get to see people that you know, and it's you. It feels like it's an extension of you. You know what I mean? And it's cool to have created something like that.
Yeah, it's sad how that went. And, you know, it's one of those things that, like, I have no regrets. You know, none of that shit had anything to do with me anyway. So, you know, but, yeah, I just think about those times, bro, like, where we would be out. Like, we were literally all 10 of us, because there's 10 of us in the Bomb Squad. There's 7 artists, 2 producers, and Keith.
Oof.
You know what I'm saying? So when we put that out, we would go out on Saturday, on Sunday, everybody would have their territory. Somebody go to Leavenworth, somebody go to Topeka, somebody go to Kansas City. You go to car washes and you catch niggas in their car while they washing their car, feeling good. Hey, yo, pop this in right quick, bro. Mm-hmm. Right? And your goal was to sell 10 CDs a day. If everybody sells 10 CDs a day, we're selling 100. We're selling, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's how we did that shit, man. And that goes back to, like, this generation. It's like that type of hustle, you know, but it's also kind of why that group fell apart, is that part. Like, not everybody's built for that.
Yeah.
You know?
Not everybody's built for this life. It's a lot that comes with trying to do all this stuff, man.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
It's way more than music, man. Yeah. It's a lot more than music. I have another question for you.
How we doing? We doing good?
Yeah, it's good.
Biggest inspiration
in music?
No. Because the person that you are, you know what I mean? I don't think that it's just a music thing. From the deeply rooted to all, where did all this come from to make you just feel like you wanted to give knowledge and you wanted to help so many people? Because to me, you always call yourself a producer and stuff like that, but I always called you my mentor. You know what I'm saying? I think I've gotten more lessons than I've gotten anything else.
I think, bro, it's that early time when I was spending that time learning that keyboard, and I felt like there was not one person I could go to. Like, not one person. I took my keyboard to Icy Rock, the nigga laughed at me, and I didn't ask nobody else, you know what I'm saying? And then I think of, like, you know, teaching myself the Triton and teaching myself music theory and teaching myself, you know, the MPC, teaching myself sampling.
Yeah.
Like,
You hear he said teaching myself all of these things.
Like, Will, probably, bro. Like, Will's said shit to me like, Tone, it's your responsibility to give back. It's your responsibility to pass on this knowledge. You can't die with it, bro. So I'm not a person that follows anybody. I find holes in them all. I mean, you know, I punched my daddy when I was a kid because I thought he was wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like I just, I find things that I like, you know what I'm saying, or something that resonates with me, and I'll take that. Very rarely do I take on everything. So my inspiration comes from a lot of places, you know. Music, I can name a few songs that literally change the way I think about shit. Get Up, Get Out, Get Something. Times Are Wasting. Erykah Badu. Still Ain't Forgave Myself.
Oof.
T.I. Like, songs that'll make me change my perspective, you know. And so, and then there'll be things like The Secret, you know, where I learn the law of attraction, or then I'll read. So I wouldn't say that I'm inspired from any one particular spot. You know what I'm saying? It's just
able to pull it
from all over the place. Like, even Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror, like, as a kid, like, this nigga had me reflecting. You know what I'm saying? It's like, one thing I realize about myself with music is, as a fan, like, I want to grow or be inspired.
Yeah, I know that.
I don't want to party, bro. No. I don't want to talk about a bunch of mindless things and listen to a bunch of mindless things. Like, if we're not growing or you're not inspiring or motivating me, I don't want to hear your music. So, music, movies, I look everywhere. So, for inspiration, bro, you can find it in anything, you know? You can look at the clouds, you can look at a forest bed and see how things are organized in chaos, but still thriving, you know? Like, so, yeah.
I'm gonna just spend a little bit of time on this because this is important to me.
Oh, wow.
You talked about it a couple times, and I know it, and anybody that's been around here knows it. You said you created a sound. What is the distinct sound that you created, and how did you create it? Where did you pull it from?
Okay, so early in my production career, I was anti-sample. I thought sampling was stealing. From an art perspective, I thought it was lazy. And as I started becoming a professional, and I started really, like, kind of, I guess, in graduate school, so to speak, you know, and I started studying the people that I liked and trying to figure out how they were doing what they were doing. Timbaland, Dre, Kanye, not so much Kanye at that time, but Timbaland, Dre, Quick, Pimp C, right? These dudes are sampling, like The Chronic. Like, I love The Chronic.
That's
right?
One of the worst things about this business is finding out
and
all the horror stories.
And then you find out, like, damn. Like, Dre didn't do that? Like,
none of it.
Like, those are 90% samples. And so then I realized, well, damn, I might be leaving some money on the table. So when you talk about what is my distinct sound, right? Well, I'm a 90s R&B dude. I know 90s R&B probably better than most people on the planet.
He's not kidding.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I know that shit in and out, right?
To the point where any song that's R&B that came out in the 90s, he's already sampled it. It may not be out, but it's already done. If I ask him, hey, about this sample, he'll pull up in the file. It's already there.
Yeah.
Keep going.
But, and so when I started thinking about, well, what am I gonna sample, right? So I stuck to a particular era, right? So a lot of sampling producers, they follow Premiere, they follow Jay Dilla. It's this choppy type of chop, 1 second up, yep, for a sample, or, you know what I'm saying? So for me, I went for the shit that I like, and I would take those samples and I would put what you call mob drums over them. So the same drums I would do for some gangster rap, you know what I'm saying, I put over the top of a Jodeci beat, you know? And it just makes for this, I don't know, like when we first started doing it, those records were so...
so impactful.
Ill. Right? And now I listen to things when, you know, when I hear things coming out of Kansas City or the Bay, I hear it. Like, I hear my influence. And I'm always like, damn, bro, you could have did that better. Like, come on, man. Like,
well, talk to him about why you hear that sound from Kansas City and the Bay. Like, what are the artists that helped come over the top of that to push that sound?
Well, Rich, obviously. Boy Big, Jay Diggs. Jay Diggs is a rapper from the Bay. Rich is from Kansas City.
These are street legends. These are for the music that's in the streets. Everybody who's listening to it, your favorite rappers are talking about these guys. These are your favorite rappers want features from these guys.
Yeah. So I have probably over 100 records with Rich. That's my guy. In 2009, me and him put out 13 CDs.
Say that one more time. One more time. In what year?
13 CDs in 2009.
So if you think that you do work,
yeah.
That was 13 CDs while he was working for other people.
Yeah, so. I was, because I sold 100 beats that year.
Hey, and I was getting beats took left and right. It was a hard time to get beats at that point.
So, yeah, that's my sound, and you know, it does come from that. Really, Rich is what. You know, cause I would. It was. You talk about fun, yeah. Right? That's one of my fun. This is something that's fun for me, to take like a love record,
exactly.
That was like a ballad, right? And then make this beat and give it to Rich, and it might even say love in there. Like sometimes I take the lyrics, right, and speed them up like kind of that chipmunk type sound, and. You know, whatever they're saying in there, I'm just so interested how this dude is gonna use this track, you know? So like some of my favorite times is just seeing what he does to my samples. So I would have so much fun. So me and him kind of built that sound together because I just loved giving him them beats. It was just fun. It was a fun time for me, so.
And that led to, you always say, you know, you came in, skyrocketing, you know what I'm saying? But then at the same time, it leads to Burner taking the record and he doing it with Rich. And I begged, I'm gonna say this on camera, I begged this man to do a Burner record for years because I knew Burner loved Rich and he was just taking that sound and running with it. And I was so mad that the architect of that sound was sitting right next to me. And when they finally made it happen, if you go listen to the song right now, that exact sound that he's talking about is exactly what they put on that track. And it's amazing. It's funny to see how it happened.
It's funny. That was funny. I didn't know that was going to happen. Like, Wee-Wee's man, TJ, rest in peace,
rest
TJ,
in peace.
Bro. He was a huge Burner fan. Like, you know, he's on the IG, he's on, like, he keeps up with him on a daily basis. And he called Wayne, and Wayne called me and was like, you got an album with somebody named Burn 'Em Up or I said, Burner, bro? You know, because Rich told me, like, he took the beat and then he had me track it out. And he was like, you know, I'm putting Burner on this one. I thought it was going to go on a Rich album. Like, I didn't know it was going on Burner's album. And then, so he tells me that, so I'm like, well, damn, let me go see. Like, maybe. So I go look, and he put the album artwork up for the album, Burner did, of the album that was about to come up. And I see my name next to DJ Quick.
As it should be. Where
I saw my name
be.
Next to DJ Quick. So his point that he's trying to make is, my biggest record of my career was just a couple years ago. We was beating Eminem at one point, bro. Like we,
number one,
yeah.
On iTunes and all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
So, you know, it is what it is.
See how he does that? You see what I'm saying? Well, I just want to, I wanted to touch on this because like I said, being a student of yours, being a friend, little brother, getting to call you a mentor, I get to see I was once just a kid, just around the corner, you know, because when he was a knucklehead running around, I was a little kid coming up, and I was just watching him, you know, watching him hoop, watching him hang around my neighborhood while they were all making the Bomb Squad albums and all that stuff. I got to see a lot that a lot of people didn't get to see. I got to see the person, you know what I'm saying? The person that you guys are seeing on Deeply Rooted right now, you know what I mean? And it's just been amazing for me, you know what I mean? It's amazing. It's like getting to sit next to your Dr. Dre, you know what I'm saying? And for me, the show is about flowers. I feel like that's what Nori always says, is giving people their flowers. And I feel like because you're so humble, your flowers have to be given to you, because this area, the sound, the people that you're touching right now, you know, it's huge, man. It's amazing to see that this all comes from one person's brain. You know what I'm saying? And someone be so humble and so cool about it and walk around, don't want nothing from nobody, first to help anybody out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I appreciate it.
That's huge, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'll take it, man. I receive that. And, you know, a lot of times it's more just because I'm always on to the next thing that I ain't thinking about the last thing. That's really what it kind of boils down to, you know what I'm saying? And I'm starting to get better at receiving it, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes it's hard to receive it too, you know? But I'm also starting to feel the effect more now after all these years, and I'm like, I'm seeing the tree and where people are at, and you know, I got people calling me like, bro, you mentored me and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I don't even remember that dude, but like, I changed his life and he feels that way, you know? So I appreciate it, man. I like, from all of y'all, you know, like, I feel the love and I appreciate it. We got more to do. It ain't over. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully, you know, y'all come on me with this, come with me on this next journey, you know, because Deeply Rooted is this is where I'm going. This is what I'm doing. We're about to hit the gas. So I appreciate you, my guy. Was that your last question?
My last question was gonna be, where do you see yourself going from here? What do you see? Yeah. What are you into? What's next on the plate for a person like yourself?
Well, like I was saying, I dedicated my life to service. What's that mean? That means that pretty much whatever mission I get on from here on out is gonna be helping somebody in some capacity. Be it charitable work, whatever, you know. I'm looking how to figure out how we can build a school in a third world country. I'm looking into coaching, mindset coaching, for anybody that's, you know, looking for some help with some of this shit, you know, especially when you're getting all this information coming at you and, or you know, you need somebody to just help. I'm trying to get into that coaching. Not even trying, I hate to say that word.
Because he's already doing it.
I am getting into coaching. Hitting the gas on Deeply Rooted for the third season. As you guys see, I haven't pulled out any of my big ones yet, you know. We gonna get Ray on this show. We'll get Tech, we'll get Rich. So just ride with me, we're building. So that's the future is service, man. Trying to help a million people in the next couple years. That's the goal. Doing it in many type of ways, so just stay tuned. I know we went long, y'all. I appreciate you, but it's shit. 16 episodes, man. Like, and this is something I want you to learn about that. It was 17 weeks because we missed one, because I took that 1 week off. That time was going to pass anyway, right? The time was going to pass. What I did with that time, because prior to that, 17 weeks passed, and I had this in my mind, and I wanted to do it.
Man.
Right?
First step is to get up. Get
Most up. Important step in any journey is the very first one, right? And people be scared to take it, and I was scared to take it. I hate being on camera, bro. I hate it.
Me too.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's bigger than me. And if anybody has learned one thing from this shit since we've been doing it, it's worth it. So we're going to stop rambling. take another shot. I'm about to go kick it with the homie for his birthday. And I appreciate y'all. We taking a break for a couple weeks because when we come back, we about to hit your ass hard. Shout out to Ron. Shout out to Jess. Shout out to the whole Deeply Rooted community. Shout out to my man KP. Don't forget, we got merch on the deeplyrootedshow.com. All these billboard quotes from season one. There's t-shirts, there's canvas art. We're gonna bring some stickers. So just look forward, be looking out for what we got coming on, man. Peace. Oh, hold on here. Bow. Welcome to Deeply Rooted, a web series on mindset. My name is Tony Wisdom, aka Tony Gaines. I've spent over 20 years in the music business as a producer, engineer, label owner, and executive. This show is dedicated to changing the narrative on success. I reached out to the most successful people I know. I want to know what drives them, their greatest mistakes, their best advice, their secrets to success, and how all of that has shaped who they are today. Take a journey with us.